Since the September 11th, 2001 attacks on the U.S., there has been a huge unraveling of this nation's understanding of what constitutes freedom and what constitutes defense and security. Our understanding of what the government is permitted to do to watch over Americans, what Americans expect from their government to prevent terrorism, and how politicians and technology have exploited all of this to grow a massive surveillance infrastructure unmatched in the world, all of this is quickly evolving and mostly behind the scenes, and it is one of the great stories of the 21st century. But there were moments like this in March 2013.
So what I wanted to see is if you could give me a yes or no answer to the question, does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans?
No, sir.
It does not.
Not wittingly. There are cases where they could inadvertently, perhaps, collect, but not wittingly.
All right.
Not wittingly. Two words that should go down in the history of the English language. That's James Clapper essentially lying to Oregon Senator Ron Wyden, director of National Intelligence Courses, who James Clapper is. Ron Wyden is the Oregon senator on the Intelligence Committee who has championed the issue of government intervention and government surveillance of U.S. citizens. Ryan Lizza is the New Yorker's Washington correspondent. He writes about this moment and a lot more in this week's magazine. Ryan, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
In many ways, this hearing, this moment in March of 2013 is the beginning of a gigantic kind of reveal that we now understand in the Snowden memos, we now understand is a gigantic series of campaigns by the NSA and the security establishment to look at the business and communications of Americans. Yes?
Yes, that's a seminal moment because that's sort of the culmination of a lot of work by Ron Wyden for about a decade to do everything he can to release more information about these programs. And we learned from some of the interviews with Snowden after the fact that he saw that hearing and it influenced him, and he had some very harsh things to say about Clapper after that hearing.
And the layering of the various programs, if we begin with September 11th as the kind of beginning of a relook at what was settled during hearings in the 1970s about domestic surveillance, controversial hearings that really restrained the CIA, created the FISA court system. After September 11th, there were a series of different kinds of programs that America heard about piecemeal that hinted at a lot of this. Can you describe that narrative as best you can?
Yeah, and that's what I tried to do with this piece, is to go back and remind people that all of this started after 9/11, and some of it came out in the Bush years, but the Snowden documents, and frankly some of the documents that the intelligence community has declassified since the Snowden release, if you go back and read through what is now thousands of pages of unauthorized leaks and declassified documents, you can tell a somewhat familiar story with an incredible amount of detail. That's what I tried to do in this piece. And basically, after 9/11, the Bush administration started four collection programs. And these programs were started outside of the legal authority that the NSA had been operating under before. A lot of people believe it was unconstitutional for them to start these programs. And this became known back in 2005 as Bush's warrantless wiretapping program. Everyone remembers that. And these programs were basically, they tried to bring them under the umbrella of the law in a period from 2004 to 2007 by using various authorities within the Patriot Act. And then eventually Congress stepped in and sort of codified one of the programs, the content collection program, which is sort of phone wiretapping and the contents of emails. That happened in 2008. But the bigger point is that all of what we learned from Snowden started way back in the days after 9/11.
You know, the end of this piece and really the takeaway from this piece is the idea that there is now within the U.S. government a culture of complicity where the security establishment really on some level has seduced Congress, the Intelligence Committee, the oversight institutions that were set up in the 70s, and even seduced the White House and the executive branch into being a part of this surveillance, either out of their intent or just the sense of, whoa, this is the cool, secret, awesome stuff. What do you think is going on here?
You know, what I think you have this system of oversight where the FISA court, which was the right thing to set up in the late 70s, and it does work, but the FISA court is very deferential to the intelligence community because, as they say in a lot of opinions, they don't know what is in the best interest to secure the country. The intelligence community does. So that's the FISA court opinion. Then you have the policymakers at the White House. Barack Obama didn't serve in the intelligence committee. He wasn't an expert on these issues. He gets in there, and then he defers to the FISA court, and he says, well, if the FISA court says this is okay, I'm okay with it. And see, and then you have the Senate Intelligence Committee and the House Intelligence Committee, also not made up of experts on intelligence matters. Their overriding interest is protecting the country from attack, and they don't want to be the ones who vote against or give the intelligence community a hard time, not giving them a tool they need, and then after the fact someone arguing that it could have prevented an attack. And so you have this you basically have the intelligence community holding all the cards in terms of what they need to prevent an attack and nobody wanting to challenge them. And the issue here is that the intelligence community is getting away with whatever they can get the FISA court to tell them is legal, rather than the policymakers sitting down and saying what is in line with our Constitution and our ideals, not just what is technically legal under the Patriot Act and under FISA.
Let's take your card game analogy. So the CIA and the NSA are dealing. But everybody at the table, the judiciary, the policymakers, the White House, the Senate, they can't read the cards. They're playing, and the dealer is the only one that even knows what's on the cards, and the dealer decides who wins.
Absolutely. And in Congress, at least the executive branch, theoretically, the White House should know everything that the intelligence community is doing because it's above it. It's overseeing it. In Congress, Senator Feinstein, who a lot of people, including me, criticize as not being a very effective overseer of this community, she admitted to me, she says, look, we don't even know all the programs because they don't tell us all the programs they have unless you ask very specific questions. So you have this game up in Congress where unless they can guess exactly the right question to ask, they don't know how to get the answers. And so you have the courts, Congress, and the White House all deferring to the intelligence community, which claims that they have the expertise. And what you need basically is policymakers with the confidence of the intelligence community, with the same level of confidence about these programs, and to have a little bit more of a broader debate about the balance between security and liberty, rather than just deferring all the time to the heads of the intelligence agency who are at the end of the day, if you were at the NSA, your job is really not to be a constitutional scholar on the Fourth Amendment. Your job is to vacuum up as much information as you possibly can to prevent terrorist attacks. And you can't necessarily blame them from having that their view. It's not their responsibility to have that self-restraint. It's Congress and the White House and the FISA court to rein them in. And hopefully that's the discussion that we have right now.
The system created in the 70s definitely needs a reexamination for the 21st century. Ryan Lizza, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you, John. I really appreciate it.
Ryan Lizza is Washington correspondent for The New Yorker. His piece on the CIA, the NSA, and the culture of complicity is in this week's magazine.